You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Cool Hooligans, we talk about spreading the gospel of MLS.
Yeah, that's right. In one big segment, we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to talk about the Premier League. Why are there so many matches? How many Scorpion Kings can there possibly be?
So many Scorpion Kings. The Rock featured on this episode. Watch it. I swear, The Rock is on this episode.
You got to listen.
All this today and more on the Cool Hooligans!
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cool Hooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Yes. Why? Wow. You sound like you're speaking to one person in particular. You also are making eye contact with me. Not very comfortable.
That's the two like different personalities you and I offer. You know? You're like, yeah, baby, and I'm like, hey, baby.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a microcosm of who we are.
Yeah, you speak to everybody. I speak in poetry.
To one particular lucky lady or fella.
One lady
or feller
out there.
And if that's you, thank you for listening.
Hey, everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome to the Cool Hooligans.
First episode of 2017.
Oh, my God. 2016 was a goddamn just delight.
It was a dumpster fire. But in that dumpster fire, there happened to be, once we put it out, oh, boy.
Exactly. Well,
there's some wonderful things in there for us.
We went through the ashes, and there were some pretty good things in there.
Yeah, it felt tough writing a, like, thank you for last year tweet. Because I was like, what a wonderful year last year was. I just realized how quickly that would get lost in the, was it really that wonderful? For us, it was.
Yeah, it's difficult to, any good thing that happened to you in 2016 seems like you're bragging.
Yeah.
You know? It seems like you're terribly insensitive.
Just insensitive. I don't know what happened to you, but let me tell you what happened to me.
Yeah. And
you lost your house. I got your house. I got a house.
We every time we're like, hey, all these great things happened for the Cool Hooligans in 2016. And then people just reply with hashtag Aleppo.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
It's like,
here's a couple photos of a child in Aleppo. We're like,
ooh, sorry.
Here's a picture of us having fun in Toronto. I know it doesn't really match up, but back to some positives.
I think that's the thing people hate about Americans. I think that's the difference.
Right.
Because it always looks like things are just great and dandy.
Things are all,
for us.
Looking on the positive side. Well, if you want something negative, go to the French. That's what they're there for.
And exactly, that's the thing. It's like everywhere else is bad.
Yeah.
And obviously.
We have to be that beacon of hope for the whole world.
It is, that burden is on our shoulders.
Yeah. Boy, do we rise to the occasion every time.
Thanks for listening, guys. Yeah. We are genuine about that. Thank you so much for everyone who has shown us some support. Support, especially in 2016, where I feel like things really, picked up some steam for us.
Yeah. Clearly we made some advances just in our own, what we're trying to produce for you guys.
Yeah.
And some of the content we're creating and just some of the relationships that we've started to develop, and really not for any other reason besides to continue to build more content and just create.
Yeah. And that's what we're looking forward to in 2017 is that we're going to work even harder to bring just more heat, more content, more humor.
100.
100% more.
And this is, what we're going to do is we're going to have to trap out soccer. I mean, that's just what we're going to do.
That's it.
Peace is going to be hitting in 2017, whether you like it or not.
There's going to be dope beats.
Oh, yeah, dude. Everybody going to be out there wondering, why are they playing dice on the ground instead of kicking that ball? It's because we trapped it out.
We're tired. I'll give a quick shout out to, I've been playing soccer in Park Slope, Brooklyn. Obviously, the hub of where the greatest of American talent comes from.
right. that football factory known as
Park Slope, Brooklyn. Yeah, we go get some almond milk and then we go play.
Yo, my G, you see that new quinoa they got?
But I've been playing in this great group. It's a meetup.com group, but they're Park Slope on a Pint. If you're in Brooklyn and want to play, good dudes. They play soccer in 4th Street in Brooklyn, 4th Street and 4th Avenue. It's a nice park, and we go get a pint right after the game. Right. Very so nice. I played in other like rec leagues, but this is like seems a little bit more in unison. So everybody's just like united. They're all pretty cool. They all know each other.
Right.
And I was talking to them and obviously I tell them a comedian that do this podcast about the Cooligans. They're like, oh, yeah, I've heard of Men in Blazers. I'm like, no, but that's not what we do.
Oh, have you? we are not them.
But the big sort of concern for them, or the thing that they always complain, they really speak negatively about MLS, about American soccer. And it's all, you know, people from all over.
Right.
But one thing, when I was talking to them, I was like, the way, see, like, there's Arsenal fans, there's Chelsea fans, there's Tottenham fans. And I'm like, the way you guys are talking about all these teams, you should be talking about MLS like this,
yeah.
You know, because the American, this passion for the teams, and where it's like almost universal, where anybody who loves soccer in America is, they already show that passion for the English teams.
Yeah.
But if you can just bring that to the American game, you know how much further we can go along.
Yeah.
Just even by talking about it to other people. We can have a word vomit about Arsenal all day forever.
Again, which I will be happy to do.
You're happy to participate in. But it's cool to see that about MLS teams. You know, there was a guy.
So this group of people don't normally talk about MLS.
They don't. And because I was talking about it and bringing it up, they even seemed a little bit more interested because there was someone at least showing a little bit of passion about MLS.
Somebody represented the league.
Exactly.
And here's the thing. We're not just representing MLS. We're representing American soccer. And I think that that's what's important. You know, if you're not an MLS fan, that's fine. We agree that there's some things MLS need to fix, need to change, certain things that may need to stop. We understand that changing that comes from within. So we are absolutely fans of NYCFC. We don't hide from that, but we're fans of the whole league. We're fans of the American soccer player. And this is the top of that pyramid for us. You know what I mean? So like, or even if you don't believe it's a pyramid, this is the top of that ladder. Okay. This is where the best go to play, right? In theory. So this is who we need to be bigging up. I mean, that's it.
Exactly. To some degree, this podcast feels like, and what I've been doing is it's like,
tell us what you've been doing.
It's
like Christian.
It's a grassroots effort.
Yes.
To,
I like that.
To inject MLS in everyday conversation.
Just,
you know,
wherever it can get in.
Just crowbar it in there.
Wherever there's an opening.
Talking to my dentist.
Yeah.
Make it just put it in there.
Whether you like it or not, just get it in there.
Exactly. No consent when it comes to bringing up MLS.
You're like, so you sell bags of rock salt for the winter. That's great. Tell me about how you enjoy Pirlo. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that Pirlo's here? And what do you think of the New York Derby?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what do you think LAFC is going to bring to the league?
Logo sounds a little bit, looks a little bit like the Angels logo, exactly. But it's pretty dope, isn't it? Right?
Exactly. And then they're going to be like, okay, well, you know, it's time to operate. Right. Stop talking.
And they're going to be like, sir, clearly you've been hit in the head. We've called an ambulance for you.
So, but it was good to be a part of that. And even what happens, the more people I tell about the Cooligans and say, and what our, like our mission statement is.
Sure.
You know, they're a little bit more intrigued. They're more intrigued about the American game just because there's people like us who care.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point. I think for those of us, especially for our fans, you know, who listen to this, it seems to me like most of the people that listen already like MLS or at least know of it.
Yeah.
We're trying to draw in people that haven't seen it yet, that still believe it's MLS from like 1998. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or really more like 2001. That was like the rough, probably like all the way through 2010. Really, really rough
patch.
It's
just getting worse and worse.
Really up until last year.
Up until like yesterday. Yeah.
We're talking MLS today, but really, I mean, look, it was, you know, they contracted, they lost two teams in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. So look, other than the first 2 years, it was kind of rough, right? It was a little rough. We want to represent that new MLS, you know, where that MLS, it's not even 2.0, somewhere MLS 3.0, 4.0, whatever the hell you want to call it.
That's right.
We're the next mixtape. That's who we are.
That's right. We're coming in. We got MLS teardrop tattoos. It's getting real.
Dog. Yo, like we ain't snitching, but things are happening. All right.
So yeah, that's you know, I'm excited about this upcoming year. Not only for MLS, but just for us, for the hope in that more people are just at least casually interested in soccer. And we see it already in the comedy community a little
bit. It's happening.
It's happening. People are interested. Even I was talking to a lot of people at like at holiday parties, and they were just other comics were coming up to me like, oh, that was so cool. You got to go to the MLS Cup.
Yeah, so many people. It's another insane.
Another comic, Ross Parsons.
Yeah,
a huge Seattle Sounders fan. Yeah. I was just talking to him, and he was. We had a long conversation. You don't understand how rare it is to have a long conversation about MLS to, especially in just anybody, but like
anybody, but especially in a small subset
and in comedy.
Like, yeah, like a fraction of the of your friendship, which is comedy.
There's so few comedians that are into MLS or into soccer in general. So specifically, MLS is like it's a delight when they start talking to you about it.
So much so that when I talk to some people, they're like, dude, no one else in the world is doing what you guys are doing. I'm like, well, there's quite a few people. You've never heard of them. Exactly. You've heard of us, but that's already a leg up for us.
Well, just last week, I got to be on Robert Kelly's You Know What Dude podcast.
Great podcast.
Very great podcast. Very popular. And as soon as I start mentioning soccer, you don't even understand how angry everybody gets.
Oh, no, it's immediate.
It's to me. They're just like, why are you wasting our time talking about
it's
this?
It's like when I was a kid and you were watching Saturday morning cartoons and then you saw the helicopter and you knew MASH was coming
out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'd be like, ugh. Oh,
boring.
Now I got to go find something to do. That's how the people feel.
Yeah.
When you mentioned soccer. Now, I will say that there's a lot of people that will, especially comedians, that will just slide right into what the stereotype is of being like, oh, it's corny, that's a girl's sport. But every once in a while, you'll find someone who's like, hey, you know, I actually used to play in high school.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I played in college. Oh, hey, what team do you follow? I want to follow someone.
Everybody has to like hide it. It's a thing.
It's the new gay.
It's the new gay.
It's the new gay. You probably didn't know that.
Hashtag the new gay, everybody.
You know what? Not Don Garber approved. I don't think that that's one that everybody wants. But it really is. It's like, you know, that's what you have to hide to some people that you're a soccer fan. And it's insane.
I mentioned... to Bobby, to Robert Kelly, I'm mentioning, oh, hey, we do the soccer podcast with Alexis Guerreros. You know him. He's been on the show before. And I mean, the look of just non-belief
and disdain.
Just like literally as soon as I said that, it was like in addition to like, oh, in Trump's America, this is going to be the like this is just this is a symptom of the Trump.
Right. He was like, oh,
look at this. Another thing.
Look what's happening. We do need a wall. You know,
that's why. The point I'm trying to make is that look at what we're up against.
Right.
You know, there's MLS fans listening.
But we're fighting this good fight.
We're fighting it, man.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
There's a lot against us, but we need soldiers.
Yeah.
We need soldiers out there.
We need other cooligans out there.
Yeah, man. To spread.
All you cooliganaholics.
to spread that message, because there's a lot of great things happening in MLS.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm excited.
Only 2 months away, 61 days away.
If you don't know what to be excited about, just Google Atlanta United FC.
Exactly.
Wow. Of the stuff they've been doing.
Yeah, they're going to have. I'm not optimistic. We saw NYC. Every team's expansion year is always a little rough.
I mean, if I would have told you Pirlo Lampard Villa, you'd be like, there you go.
Yeah, and even then.
Any non-MLS fan would go, that's clearly the best team in MLS, you know? And clearly not.
Well, okay? In FIFA 16, they like kind of were.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like Manchester City. More people were fans of Manchester City on FIFA than they were in real life. Sure, you know what I mean? Because, like, of course you're going to play that team. They've got everybody.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about what's coming up in MLS last episode.
Yeah.
Preseason, I mean, obviously January transfers, there's going to be some stuff going on.
Yeah, January transfer windows open. Some people are moving from Europe. Does it seem like there's a lot of activity for MLS players
not
right
too
now?
Not too much going on. I mean, the rumor about NYCFC has been sort of delayed in making any announcements.
Yeah.
But it looks like is he Panamanian? Miguel Camargo?
I thought he was Costa Rican.
No, I think he plays in Costa Rica, but I think he's Panamanian.
Panamanian, okay.
Yeah. And he, I think that's like the big signing.
Midfielder. Defensive midfielder, no?
I don't remember exactly. But no, I don't know. Because I saw a highlight video of him and he was scoring a bunch. So who knows? But I think he's supposed to be the younger Lampard to sort of replace that.
That's right. A Panamanian. The younger Lampard.
We'll see what he does. But
hopefully he's out there. Muévelo, muévelo.
It's weird when.
Great joke for someone who. was a child when El General came out.
When there's a lot of, especially in MLS, where the transfer rumors are a little more obscure. It's not big news.
No, you got to Google these.
You
got to
go. I'm like, so when it happens, right? When there's a transfer rumor in MLS, I'm like, all right, let me Google this guy
because highlight YouTube because
I've never heard of this person.
YouTube highlight reel. And then
I sort of gauge like how people excited based on like their tweets, you know? Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, this tweet seems optimistic. So maybe as a fan, I should also be optimistic. Yeah. I have no other information.
Well, this guy with 38 followers clearly should be dictating my emotions. Yeah,
exactly. So that's sort of where we are when it comes to American soccer media.
Right. But it is, there's something exciting about it where you don't really know the player. Like I remember the first season they had that guy, I can't remember his name, but his nickname was Belleza.
Okay.
And you know, you pull up the highlight reel, you're like, oh my God.
That was my nickname in high school too.
Well, that's my nickname right now.
If you don't know what Belleza means, it's just...
It means Alexis Guerrero.
It's a very, very pretty woman, a pretty girl.
Yeah. Or something beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
So I looked up his highlight reels. I'm like, this guy's going to be unstoppable. And mm-hmm. he didn't play. I don't think he played. He barely played. And I think he's gone. He was transferred off the team.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know. It's a bit more exciting. It's kind of like getting those packs in FIFA, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's
just but you never know what you're going to get, you know?
Just a random, you just hope you get like one of the gold ones.
Yeah.
And
you want one of the big players. You might not get it.
Yeah. In general, this is sort of a weird month. January is a weird month in MLS.
Yeah.
Just for that reason, where like in other countries in Europe, it's like the hottest.
Yeah. This
transfer, everything's just
hot.
It's just
stove
popping.
Yeah. Oscar going to China.
But I think it's the opposite in MLS. The summer transfer, the off season.
Right, the midseason for us.
The midseason is where it gets a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, that seems to be when the bigger names come because they're done with their season.
Exactly.
As opposed to
so like the Loderos would show up and we had Pirlo, same thing.
Pirlo, right, midseason acquisition.
So yeah, it's obviously...
Lampard, non-planned midseason acquisition.
So MLS is going to be exciting. I mean, it's coming, it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, I think the big thing is going to be the January camp, men's national team camp.
Yeah. So that's coming up real soon.
That's coming up soon. So we're going to have a lot more information on that if you're listening. But it's going to be fun. There's a lot of MLS players in that.
Yeah, as I mentioned, it's just like it's a freshman year of high school.
Camp Cupcake, as they call it.
Yeah. So a lot of people like that, Juan Agudelo,
Dax McCarty,
all these people who been very neglected by
Juan Agudelo, friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast. A good friend. Yeah.
I gotta text him again. Yeah. Text him in a while.
He's gonna be the godfather to my kid.
You gotta go have a kid.
Gotta get that done quickly.
Yeah.
So we want to talk a little Premier League because that's what's
popping right now. It's the only league playing.
It's the only league playing, and they're also playing every game. They're playing all their games.
They're playing all their games.
They're gonna have now. The season's gonna be done January 6th.
Yeah, I mean, at this pace,
they play so many games. I guess people who obviously pay attention to the Premier League are sort of used to this. Just a lot of games in sort of this winter session.
Yeah.
But
jam-packed. I mean, when everyone else is doing nothing, we're doing the most.
Exactly. So
it's ridiculous.
They, I believe it's 3 games in 10 days for every club. And it feels like more. It really does.
It feels like every day there's another Premier League match, which look, I'm as a consumer.
Yeah.
Great. I love taking it in. I love watching it. But you got to feel bad for these players.
You do. You know what? One thing I kind of expected was maybe a little bit more fatigue. I mean, you sense it. You see it.
Oh, you're seeing.
I sort of expected a little bit more injuries, but there hasn't really been that many.
That's generally starts after this.
Okay.
You know, because they wore themselves so thin.
Yeah. But a bunch of just great games like Boxing Day and then that week after there's it's sort of what you just said. Like I just feel like I turn on the TV and there's somebody's playing.
You're guaranteed a Premier League match. Doesn't matter what day it is.
Pretty much. I mean, I think the only day they haven't played in the last 2 weeks is Thursday. Thursdays.
Jeez.
But they have games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Must be weird for Manchester United not to be playing on Thursdays, huh?
But Europa?
That's a Europa League, yes.
Boom. Hashtag Europa League this.
Oh.
Oh.
Shots fired.
Are you not in a tournament that you don't even want to be in? Hashtag Europa League this.
Europa League this.
Oh, man. So let's go over a couple. Just some fun ones throughout. You know, these couple days, Liverpool played against Manchester City. So these, obviously, the top four matches are getting a little, I would say 2, 3, and 4 are where, like, there's a lot of,
that's the excitement.
Yeah. That's
the excitement. Chelsea's making this kind of boring.
Chelsea is, it's going to be interesting when they finally lose one.
Please. But I mean, they just tied Arsenal for, what, 13 in a row?
That's right.
So that's a league record. I mean, you know, the league's only been going on since 1992, so it's not like this, like, long-standing record. But, you know, look, as an Arsenal fan...
Don't dismiss it.
As an Arsenal fan, look, they can't win. They can't go invincible. So... Who cares? Yeah. Take all the other records, all you want. Just the invincible, that's mine. Chelsea, there's so many people that say they can't hold this form. They can't hold this form. I honestly, look, they could recall 40 players. You know, they have so many players on loan. I don't see them not being able to hold this form for some strange reason. I just really believe, just continuously watching them, will they lose? Will they slip up? Yeah, but I don't think we're going to be able to make up those, like, what is it now, 9 points?
Well, Arsenal's down 9 points, but we're recording this on Monday.
Right.
They have a match tomorrow, Tuesday.
Tuesday, right. So normally we record on Tuesday, so we would know
exactly
the results. So when you hear this on Wednesday morning, we do not know the result of the Arsenal match. I'm going to say we won.
Arsenal is playing Bournemouth.
Yeah.
They should win this match.
And Wilshere can't play, so...
Oh yeah,
he's on loan.
That's another interesting. Yeah, there's that rule that, because I have some in my Premier League fantasy. I have Nathan Ake from
he's Bournemouth, right?
Bournemouth,
yeah, but he's Chelsea.
Chelsea loaner, so he couldn't
he's
play.
He's incredible.
Yeah, he's been great.
He's so good.
He's a left back or right back. He scores like almost every game.
Yeah,
he's doing great.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, so
fantasy talk.
And I noticed that it said, he wasn't available because of Chelsea loan, and I've never, why? That's weird.
You may not. You can't play against the club that actually owns you.
Yeah, that's always weird.
Come on
though.
Now.
What an odd rule.
That's not an odd rule. That's perfect. I'll loan you my player, but I'm not going to let him score the winning goal against me.
That's so interesting to me.
That's great.
I mean, obviously, I get the...
And also, if you know Jack Wilshere's history, we're helping you guys out. That dude gets injured every year except this year, actually.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So it's very much a loan. Yeah, it's not a trade. It's not...
Yeah, no, it's absolutely a loan. It's a way to get the finances off the books.
I'm hooking you up.
Yeah.
I'm hooking up with Jack Wilshere. Just do the right thing by me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what it is? It's like, I'll let you use these shoes. But not when we're together, because that girl I like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want her to see me wearing them shoes.
Yeah, they're like, don't wear those shoes to my wedding. Those are my wedding shoes. It's like, it's like wearing a wedding dress to a wedding.
Right. That's all I have. But you let me borrow it. The brides in jeans. Like, we were looking for you.
Obviously Chelsea is going to... I think they're going to slip up. I think it's going to be... fairly close. I think Chelsea, I think they might take the title, but I have a feeling they're going to drop a place at some point. I feel like they're going to drop and then come back up.
I hope you're right.
Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you. I just hope you're right.
Can they just win every game? It's just for the rest of the year? Is that possible?
They can't win every game, but a bunch of draws, that'd be good for us if we kept winning. I mean, we've got to the point now, as an Arsenal fan, if you're Everton, at this point, you're trying to finish out in the top half. You know what I mean? Like, you're hoping to get a Europa spot. I know that's what I said you guys were going to do. That looks highly unlikely now.
Well, we're in seventh now. It's not
you're
impossible.
In seventh. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to maintain an above eighth position, right?
Yeah. It's what Everton's 9 points back from fifth.
Speaking of not going to happen, it's going to be rough. But I did believe that Everton could finish fifth. But I will say that for the rest of us, we just want to keep getting closer. And what that means is now, if you're Manchester United, if you're Manchester City, if you're Liverpool, if you're Arsenal, there are no matches that you can now even draw. You can't like just like, you know, just like work a draw in somehow, just like somehow save a draw, just score, you know, equalize in the last minute and feel good about yourself because you've still left points on the table. Yeah. And you have to take them at every step of the way. Do you have to take 3 points? 100%.
Liverpool just drew with Sunderland in a match they probably should have won.
Oh, my God. Although, Sunderland looked great.
Well, they gave up two penalties and, you know.
And it should have been three. Emre Chan.
They have to be killing themselves over that because they were up 2-1, and then Sadio Mane decides to just punch the ball like the keeper.
He's like, I got this.
I think he was trying to do the Odell Beckham one handed catch, but right.
He just looked at the keeper and was like, dude, you do this all the time. I got you this time. Let us have some fun.
Exactly. It led to a penalty that Jermaine Defoe put away, and they have to be really very disappointed giving up those 2 points because they're the closest ones to Chelsea, and they gave up points when they really needed them.
100%. Yeah, you gotta feel bad, but also I mean you were able to take a point where it looked like everything was working against you, so I thought Sunderland was going to walk away with those 3 points.
Chelsea plays Tottenham next. So that's
come on, Chelsea. I'll take another Chelsea win just to see Tottenham lose.
I mean, if Tottenham can win that, obviously for the top four, that will do a lot.
Well, look, your typical Arsenal fan will want Tottenham to win because we're still ahead of Tottenham.
Yeah,
and we're still obviously as long as we win tomorrow on Tuesday, we're still keeping pace. So let them hurt our, you know, biggest enemy, right, which is Chelsea right now because they're in first. But I just enjoy watching Tottenham lose so much.
Tottenham they've been on fire the last couple of weeks. I mean, the last few games, Dele Alli is just, I mean, I think he's gotten like maybe four goals in the last three games, something like that. Harry Kane just scored two. He also missed the penalty where he pulled a Messi. He skied it like in the Copa America. Not good. And I love when players sky a penalty. It's the same thing that happens all the time. They sky it. They prepare. They sky the kick. They immediately look at the ground. And they just kick it again. Like, well, what's going on with the grass right here?
Was there like a bump or something over here?
Start looking at the ground crew like, hey,
which one of you handles zone 8?
They're all like baffled by the floor. Okay. Oh, I see how you guys handle the grass here, but back where I'm from, we don't do something.
No, not perfectly even. I don't know what your guys are doing over here.
And Harry Kane is the kind of dude that always looks befuddled.
Harry Kane looks like he just found out his wife is leaving him at every step of the way.
He has a, I think it's the underbite. He has a bit of an underbite.
He does have.
So the outward chin is just kind of,
Yeah, it's a little Scooby-Doo sound.
Scooby-Doo-ish, yeah. he's just like, oh, this is a facet. Wow, yeah. I'm in the Premier League.
But wait, I was supposed to kick that in the goal?
Yeah, he's.
I'm surprised.
But overall, Christian Eriksen, Heung-min Song, they look great. They look great. The last couple of games, they've been pretty good. And obviously, Arsenal's keeping pace.
They're keeping pace with Arsenal.
They keep.
Let's be honest. But again, look, Pochettino comes from the Bielsa tree. Okay.
Yeah.
Love Pochettino. He says he wants to manage PSG because I think he played there. So I guess that were Monaco. His goal is to, I guess, manage PSG, I think, at some point. I believe it's PSG. It's in the league, which this guy could probably be, the manager of the Argentinian national team soon enough.
Sure, it's doing well.
He's great. I think Pochettino's great. He's got those guys. Look, I don't think he has that great of a squad. He's got them playing well. So if you're a ton of fan, you're happy.
We do have to talk about Arsenal against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, we do, baby.
Arsenal wins.
The Scorpion King.
Yes, The Rock was in this one. It was pretty good.
Looked like like it to me.
Also, Brendan Fraser.
Oh God, that was terrible actor.
That was Brendan Fraser was in The Mummy, not The Scorpion King.
Encino Man.
Encino Man. Yeah, yeah. He was like the go-to guy for a long time.
Yeah, he was. He was, but he's kind of a nerd. Like you know, when you saw him do like a real interview, you were like, "How's this guy an actor?"
Yeah, he gets a bad rap, but a lot of actors that are like that are just like. Some guys are just so, you know, just likable, for lack of a better word.
You don't want that.
He has like, he's just mean. He's a mainstream guy. You can just put him in any role and he'll sell tickets. People are like,
middle of the road.
I am unoffended by him. Yeah. So I will go see this.
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't hit the meter, you know, not in a bad way, not in a good way. You know, you want Bad Boy.
Ooh.
That's what you want.
All right.
You want an Alexis Guerrero.
Or Alexis Sanchez. Olivier Giroud.
You want Alexis Sanchez, but without the dogs. Not those, because he's like a nice guy with the dogs. But without the dog, he's on the pitch. He's an animal.
So
you put puppies in front of him. He's too much of a sweetheart.
Arsenal against Crystal Palace. This was, Crystal Palace falling apart. Sam Allardyce just sitting there. You know, at least Alan Pardew would stand. Yeah. You know, I mean, he
might even dance a little. He had the moves.
Sam Allardyce is just...
Allardyce is like, which one of these guys can I sell to Asian to Asian business?
Yeah, guy? Like to get a little commission on my part.
Just a little taste. That's all I want. Just a little taste off the top. Old Sam.
After
Soprano Allardyce.
After all the news about Sam Allardyce and his, like, you know, kind of corruption to some degree.
Sure.
Just watching him, he just looks a little... More like a kingpin, than ever.
He should be holding like a half-smoked cigar at all times.
Yeah, so it's one of those questions like, how does this guy have a job?
Yeah, how did you hire him?
They literally got you on video saying you were going to do something that's not allowed.
Right, it's like the next girl who dates Samir Nasri. You're like, what are you doing?
But apparently, he has a massive wang, so that's why that's why you're with him.
You always bring in Big Sam. Is that what you're talking about? You know why they call him Big Sam.
So, goals by Iwobi, but nobody's going to remember that goal for the rest of the year.
Iwobi will.
Iwobi will.
But I will, too. But, you know, it's one of those things where, like, sometimes you see soccer players that don't just take, like, the obvious shot. You know, that's what Iwobi did. Iwobi saw the ball pop up. He jumped up and headed it straight forward as opposed to down or try to trap it and get maybe a second touch or do too much of an Arsenal move, which would be like passing it to someone who passes it to someone else who's standing in front of the goal. He just literally saw an opening and was like, I'm just going to hit it as hard as I can this way. And it was beautiful, which is a complete contrast of the other goal of that night.
Yes.
What an absolute yin to Giroud's yang, which I did not want to say.
So I'm sure you've seen this already. You're listening to Olivier
Giroud. Unless you live under a rock.
Olivier Giroud.
Unless you live under the rock.
Ooh, okay. A lot of people would love to live under
the rock. Then okay, girl. I see you. You probably work for drip doctors.
You okay? Can you breathe? Because that's a heavy rock you're under.
Dude, there's a lot of steroids, allegedly.
So... Olivier Giroud against Crystal Palace scored, I mean, might be the goal of the season if Mkhitaryan's goal did not happen. But it might be tied for first. It might be because...
Tied? No, clearly is first.
Okay, so Giroud scores a scorpion kick goal. It was a great run-up to the play.
You got to watch the run-up because that's the most important part. He starts with like a back heel sort of... pass, turn, and Giroud, not a fast guy.
He's clearly not fast, and when you know he's running at full speed.
Full speed. Like so fast that like his head is cocked
his
back.
Head, yes. Yeah. He looks like he's being pulled. Like he's being whipped forward. like he
100%.
Just went on a bullet roller coaster.
Yeah, like he's jet skiing.
Yeah,
he's water skiing and he didn't realize the boat took off.
Exactly.
That's what he looks like.
It's just the inertia of his giant head is just is not keeping up with his body.
His beautiful hair is pulling the top of his head back. That's exactly what it looked like. So, but I mean, that just goes to show, like, he starts that off. that's not his move. His move isn't, but he's like, dude, I got to get up there.
Yeah.
And that's how much he wanted to score. That's how much he wanted to win. Is he's full, like a Clydesdale, just trying to keep up with a Greyhound, just full speed as hard as he can. Like when I would run, when people would be like, oh, challenge you to a race. You know, when you're kids, you do that. Mm-hmm. I would have a special breathing technique that I thought maybe you'd run faster.
Oh, please. Can you do this breathing
technique? I will not. Maybe we'll do it on video.
I'm sure it sounds like a Lamaze class.
Kind of close. I know after it certainly does. After a race, it 100% does. It certainly looks like I'm about to give birth. But like, you know, you got your head, you're literally giving every inch you can, you know, yeah. you like, you know, like you throw your nose out there to see if you win, you know, like a photo finish. He literally did all those things. But if you watch, he does this little one touch back heel sort of kick.
Yeah. Yeah. In the pass. Middle of the field. And right. I think
in their half.
I forgot who was it that he passed the ball to.
I believe it was Shaka. Shaka to Alexis.
Shaka to Alexis. A great pass. And Alexis was ahead. He pulled the ball back, stopped, cross,
but Giroux asks for it. He, you know, the way sort of if you watch NBA basketball, they say like if the big man gets a block and he runs,
yes, yeah,
you pay the big man, right?
Exactly.
So like if your center makes a block and runs all the way back on offense, you got to give him the ball to put the dunk in because he did all the work just now.
Exactly.
Same thing exact happened. Like he made that full run. He called out, "I want it here," and Alexis saw it, put it a little bit behind him.
But it was a bad pass.
Yeah, it wasn't a great pass. It was in the right area, just behind him. You know, I don't think anyone is prepared for Giroud, who has been running that fast. And by the way, even Giroud, his momentum carried him way too far.
Yeah, Alexis was like, Drew, you're supposed to be over here.
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought that was going to be way ahead of you, Giroud. And Giroud looks back and back heels it on purpose. Back heels it. He tried to make contact with it.
Yeah.
And it just clangs off the crossbar and right in. And it was just gorgeous. And you know, you could see the elation come out of Giroux when he scores it.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like I need to just watch it just real quick. Did he get it with the bottom of his foot? No,
off the side of his foot. Off the side.
Off the inside.
Well, no, because it was his left leg.
Okay, I'm about to watch it right now. I just to confirm. It was, yeah, the outside.
The outside of his boot.
The outside of his left foot. So the ball is coming from the left side of the box, and he also gets it with the... A scorpion kick already is an almost impossible shot to get.
Let's stop acting like this isn't the hardest part already.
it's incredible, but really what made it dramatic and beautiful was it hitting the crossbar and then going in. The keeper... I mean, reached completely for it.
There's nothing anyone could
have done. Nobody could have gotten it. But the fact that this it went in where it went in is... you can't aim for that.
No.
But to have the wherewithal to try that shot, to have the flexibility to run at full speed, which is obviously...
The grace.
For Giroux, it's like it's about, you know, 2 miles per hour. So
yeah.
It's not super fast. But the fact, running at full speed, the ball's behind you, to have the wherewithal to, like, kick your leg back and also aim accurately.
It's impossible to recreate.
Yeah.
I would challenge all of you to go outside and try to recreate this. You're just not going to.
Next video is Cooligan Scorpion Kicks.
Yeah. That's there's a lot of pulled hammies. it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. And really repaying back this, you know, whiff of a miss where he tried a beautiful cross across the ground and he tried to just do it with the short foot. Again, the left, as opposed to do it with the... Actually, he did it with the right foot. He tried to hit it with the right foot as opposed to just hit it with the left. Yeah. And he adjusted and he ended up missing, just whiffed on it. And, I, you know, this was made everyone forget that even happened. And it was a beautiful goal. And Arsenal take 3 points. Very, very excited.
Yeah. So the other goal that happened the week prior... Henry Mkhitaryan had a cross from Zlatan Ibrahimovic
where he was offside.
And then it taints the Scorpion.
It shouldn't have counted.
Yeah, I mean, but also very, very pretty,
beautiful.
Just the cross, and then to Giroux hit it going in his direction, so he hit it forward. But Mkhitaryan's went. He redirected it.
They were both redirected, though, because Giroud's was a cross.
They were both crosses, but Giroud's went forward to you know, parallel to him.
Yeah.
And Mkhitaryan's went to the left of him.
Right, right, right.
So, I mean, it just looked kind of crazy because it was, he redirected it like he would redirect a header to,
sure,
to the far post.
It looked like a video game. Like he could point to where he wanted it.
I can't even do that in the video game.
You've seen me play FIFA. I can't do any of these things.
I don't know how any of this stuff happens.
What button do you hit for a cross? Let's start there.
I think it's supposed to be when the ball is in the air. I think it's the left trigger, or like in Xbox or and PS4, the left trigger and then the shoot button. I think, and depending on the quality of the player, it does like a more advanced either header
or a bicycle
or something, yeah, like that. But I remember if like early FIFAs, like 2001, 2003, 2004, it was so easy to do a bicycle kick.
Oh, everyone could do it.
It would happen all the time.
Yeah.
And now, it's probably more realistic that it doesn't happen, but I never see them at all.
Yeah.
At all.
No.
So, I've been playing, I think I've seen maybe one or two bicycle kicks in the last like four FIFAs.
They seem to always be on corners.
Maybe. I never see them.
I see them happen all the time.
If anybody listening, how the hell do you do a damn corner?
Yeah, is EA Sports listening to this?
Because clearly they're happening twice in 1 week in the Premier League, so they're not as rare.
Yeah,
as
is there a scorpion kick button, FIFA?
There should be. I think they should just come built in the controller itself. Just
that's
like,
the next update.
Instead of like, X or square or triangle, it's a scorpion kick button for one game only. A
little picture of The Rock with long hair. Hit that for a scorpion kick.
So those, obviously, those were surreal. Just absolutely incredible. There were a couple other games that were, obviously I've been paying attention to Everton. And they drew against Hull. Hull should lose this game. Hull should lose to everybody.
Yeah.
But no, when you play Everton, you got a chance.
You always have a shot.
You always have a real chance. I think that game was the one where Everton seemed the most affected by the condensed schedule. Because
it happens to everybody in this time of year.
Yeah. Because look, Everton, their following game, just 3 days later against Southampton, they went 3-0.
Right.
So Southampton looked like they were a little gassed. But that was a big win against Southampton because obviously Ronald Koeman was just at Southampton last season.
Yeah. And you always want to play well, against, the team that your manager came from, right?
Yeah.
There's always some inspiration there.
And the big issue was the reason Koeman even left was it was just a straight up guap. He didn't feel he was getting
paid out.
He needed the amount of dough where he would feel respected, and Southampton was not offering that. Even after getting them, they got a Europa League spot, right? I think. Did Southampton?
No.
They didn't make it to Europa.
No, I don't believe so.
I think they were sixth, not fifth.
Yeah.
So they were close. But obviously a good place for Southampton.
Yeah.
And probably looks like that's where he's bringing Everton as well.
Just
outside.
Yeah, Koeman is just as good. But well, I don't know. He's got a transfer window, and I think he's actually got more money than he had before.
Yes.
So we'll see.
I think what the rumor is Schneiderlin.
Schneiderlin. And one more.
Who is the other one?
There was Schneiderlin and somebody else. We
Lingard?
Talked about it last
Lingard?
Week. Is it Lingard?
I don't remember. It was Manchester United.
Who made that embarrassing how to dab video? Ugh.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, boy.
I'm sure that's fun.
Oof, so bad.
Well,
asking my mom to do it.
Well, how much instruction do you need when it comes to a dab?
You got to see it. Like, he's like, and then you put your leg up, and then it was just embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
Oh, boy.
He's like, once the bread is toasted.
Overall, look, this whole Boxing Day and the last couple games, this whole condensed schedule, it's been fun. It's been exciting. It's been a good couple week and a half.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about it as a viewer, but as a supporter of a club, this is a bit much, and it needs to relax because people are going to get injured.
Yeah, well.
And then if you're Giroud, do you start him? He scored, I believe, in each of the last six matches he started. And if I'm not mistaken, against Ludogorets, he had a hat trick. So, again, that, Romanian, So not in the Premier League, but still Champions League.
Oh, that's right.
So what do you do? What do you do if you're Arsene Wenger? Look, Alexis was off to the left. I don't think he plays nearly as well. I think he's better up front.
I've been watching a lot of documentaries. I've been doing some little research on the Premier League the last couple of weeks. And
what have you learned?
I've been focusing on NBC Sports does a lot of documentaries that they put out.
Yeah.
And they did one on Arsene Wenger that was pretty good. I don't know if you saw this.
I did not. I might have lived through it, though.
But they had a bunch of people sort of discussing Arsene Wenger's, tenure. Mm-hmm. And about, especially he's been there for 20 years. I think this is his 21st, if I'm not mistaken. He's been there as long as the MLS has existed.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? All right. So basically everyone's saying that the first decade of Wenger was obviously what was legendary. And then the second decade is where, wasn't as legendary.
You have problems.
Yeah. And his explanation to it, because they had an interview with Thierry Henry.
Henry sat down with him.
Down with him, and he said, he mentioned those, the tale of two decades. And it seems like Arsene Wenger's sort of complaint or reasoning for all this is just that they had to build the stadium. The Emirates, and that was what affected them financially. So they couldn't have the same the quality squad that they had
They were a selling squad, and which is why I say Arsene Wenger will be remembered as a wonderful coach, because for 10 years. Those 10 years he kept them qualifying for Champions League while being a selling team.
Yeah.
He built a new stadium, which I prefer the old one, but you're future proof with 60,000 seats, right? He built a stadium and he paid off all the debts.
Yeah, that's
while maintaining Champions League football.
Yeah.
So, look, would I have preferred to have won the league at some point within those seasons? 100% yes. But when we look back, and no one's been able to look at Manchester United. Look what we've seen in the last few years out of Manchester United. They lose Sir Alex Ferguson, and they can't figure anything out. They're all over the place. We maintain top four. Everyone jokes around that fourth place is our position, but look what we've been able to do.
Yeah, that's what I was what was observing and what I was kind of impressed by, that he does. Yeah, he is a Premier League manager, but you see the requirement of a Premier League manager, especially of a big club like that, is that, and you're also, you're coaching, you're handling transfers, but you're also maintaining a business.
Yeah, you're a business person.
He's a businessman, and he's and as soon as he said the last 10 years that haven't led to, titles. And he's like, well, as I had to build, we were building the state. Like if he was putting down the bricks for the damn thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he was like, yes, my responsibility.
He's talking to the suppliers. He's like, this is too much. Or is it concrete?
Yeah. Yeah. Just Arsene Wenger with a hard hat.
Yeah,
just
a white hat. He's just out there. What this is? People are taking bricks. I did not hear a whistle. You cannot do this.
Yeah. He's just like a strict boss.
Yeah.
It's like one of the Qatari foremen.
Yeah. Your child is going to have to walk home from school. You cannot leave the site of the construction.
Yeah.
Just because your child is sick. This is crazy. Is there no school nurse? I'm holding on to all the passports. Nobody leaves.
That's what it really, you start to understand why Arsenal has been Arsenal these last few years. And they seem financially tied, like their hands are a little tied.
So yeah, for sure.
But to have as much success as they have had has, it's nothing to just scoff at.
No.
And they had every side. They had the Wenger outs, and they had the people that really supported him.
The Wenger ins.
And the people Ian Wright, right? Ian Wright.
Mm-hmm.
He was it was him, Piers Morgan.
Oh boy.
Oh, we all love his opinion. Piers Morgan.
Two shames. I think Osama bin Laden and Piers Morgan. The fact that they're both Arsenal fans really pissed me off.
Is that Osama bin Laden an Arsenal fan?
Yeah, he went to the Highbury like three times.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that insane?
I mean, of all people, Osama bin Laden would love Arsenals. He loved Arsenals in general.
Arsenals. Big, yeah.
Big
He's like, I can't do it. Same accent. Does that have cannons?
Exactly. Yeah.
He's still a French guy for some reason.
you know, yeah. Who is it? Piers Morgan, Osama Bin Laden, and The Punisher.
And
love,
The Punisher.
Love Arsenal.
Love Arsenal.
Big fans of that. But he, Piers Morgan was very Wenger out. He's like, he's done. Yeah. You know, we haven't won. And everyone who is Wenger in was very much living in the past, and I'm not saying that that's wrong, because, you know, he...
But, I mean, it's what qualifies him for the job now.
Yeah.
You know?
Without a doubt. And that, you know, it came up relentlessly, the Invincible year. It's just... It's such...
No one's ever done it.
No one's ever done it. So it's so... Unbelievable! It's so much a miracle that to get rid of that guy, to fire that guy that brought you the thing that's impossible to get.
Yeah.
Is
impossible.
It's difficult. Yeah. I mean, it almost takes some, a level of bravery.
Yes. 100%
to fire that guy.
100%. Because what people don't realize about jobs like, you know, Mourinho, you wash your hands of if he's gone. There's going to be some people that are upset, but let's see what else. You understood at some point he was going to be gone because that's his character. Mm-hmm. Now, Arsene Wenger, we've gotten to the point now when he does leave, there's going to be a massive group of people that are going to be really upset by it. They're going to be distraught. There's some fans that have only ever known Arsene Wenger.
That's right.
So that's it. I mean, you know, you're going to have to hire the perfect person, and you're going to need a rebound chick. You know, right? That's this is right. Breaking up a big marriage. You know, like your kids are like, well, you're 50. Why are you divorcing now? Who gives a shit? Sleep in other rooms. You guys are fine.
Exactly.
You're going to ruin Christmas and Thanksgiving for this? So you can get a little strange, Dad, you know? And now you have to bring on, like, you're going to have to marry, like, Martha Stewart, you know? You got to bring in a Simeone, a Sampaoli.
Yeah, it would have to be huge.
It has to be mad. It has to be perfect. You can't bring in like some guy who's like in, you know, in the fourth tier, but like shows promise. You can't do it. You got to bring in a guy that has been, you know, consistent with it. And you're going to have to keep this guy for a long time. You're going to have to bring in someone that has been with his club for a long time that can show that same loyalty and that same consistency to Arsenal. It's almost impossible. In fact, you got to let Arsene Wenger leave his contract, decide he doesn't want to come back, and you have to let him pick the next manager.
Sure.
You have to.
Okay.
Sir Alex Ferguson kind of did.
Yeah, yeah. To like groom for it. Because it's not just any, it's like not just a club. It's like a, it's like passing this like baton of like a legacy.
Yeah, 100%. You got to let him pick it, because if it goes bad, it'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Guess he made one bad choice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but we're fine. We're going to hire.
It was interesting. I forgot the name of the, in a particular episode. It was like one of those Premier League download things on NBC Sports, but you should watch it. Very
cool. I think it's all available on NBC Sports.
Exactly. So I like I said, I've been doing a bunch of research, but the other on Netflix, there's a bunch of soccer stuff on Netflix.
Oh, God, yeah, there is.
Planet FIFA, which I just watched, about all the corruption at FIFA. And like, just, I mean, it's fairly...
It's really hard to track.
Came out last year.
Yeah, yeah, I watched it. It's kind of, it's a little dull, but it goes through a lot of the stuff.
Exactly. It's almost, it's too packed with corruption to make any sense.
You lose track of who's, you're like, wait, what?
There's too much going on. Yeah. It's like an episode of Scandal.
Yeah, yeah, it's too much. Which one of you is Cookie? That's Empire.
But yeah, that's also very good. But also Class of 92.
Great. Yeah, so you saw that.
That was very good, about Manchester United in the 90s. So in 1992, when Ryan Giggs, David Beckham,
Scholes,
Paul Scholes, and Nicky Butt were all in the same youth academy, and then made it all to the first team, and they were obviously so dominant in the Premier League. Great. Another great thing.
Great.
I think the thing I was most interested in is obviously David Beckham, his abs. I'm very interested in that.
Yeah, of course.
But
bend me like Beckham, says Christian Ballard.
But when...
but also like how the league started and all that.
How he handled the fame.
Yeah.
How he handled the fame. I always pictured David Beckham as this like pretty boy, sort of douche guy that, especially in England, he must have been, you know, just like a playboy.
Yeah.
But it's a complete opposite.
Yeah.
He was very well respected in on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an important asset. There were other players that didn't really respond to the fame. They didn't have any interest in being famous. But David Beckham is like one of the first people I've ever heard of being incredibly famous, just an absolute megastar outside of soccer.
Right.
And also really good on the field.
He was bigger than what Ronaldo is now.
Yeah.
Because my wife knew who Beckham was in the early 2000s.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? That's what, whenever you would open her magazines and they were sticky. I'm like, honey, what's going on?
That's my fucking wife. I'll break your fucking face for saying that. But no, you would see like these like dirt rags, whatever. I don't know what they were, but like gossip things. And his picture would be in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God.
He was
a Kardashian before the Kardashians. Imagine the Kardashians had any skill. Well, they do have one if you've seen that first video. But imagine they could kick a ball on a dime. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was, in my mind, I knew him as Victoria Beckham's, like, I just thought he was like a dummy, a guy who didn't take sports so seriously.
But you know what it is also, that we're American, and when you talk to an athlete, and they're like, yes, hello, hi, that kills us. We want our athletes to be like, what's up, I'm an athlete, not like, yes, it just doesn't work for
honestly,
us.
Honestly, that's a fucking perfect David Beckham impression.
Yeah, thank you. Cheerio. Yes, I was excited. Right. Cheerio.
Great, series, documentaries on Netflix. They were great. We should all watch
and
them.
And also, there was a couple 30 for 30s soccer stories, which were great. Obviously, the two Escobars is famous.
Yes, yes.
I still think that's the best 30 for 30. But there's a lot more great ones. They did a whole bunch of soccer stories around the World Cup. So, check those out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you agreed.
We just ended abruptly.
Yeah. So that's the end of the Cooligans forever. Guys, this was fun. We only did one big segment for you guys. But listen, I want to just say that I think it's over, but you could still, so it used to be 30%. Hopefully you guys use that over at On the Volley.
Yeah.
But you can still get, I believe, 20% off if you use the code Cooligans.
Cooligans. Go to VAFootballClub.com and you can get some cool. You probably saw in our latest video, Alexis was wearing the Wu-Tang with the soccer pitch in it.
Yep.
They have a bunch of dope clothing.
It's incredible. It's so comfortable.
Comfy.
It's my favorite. I wore it yesterday. I was going to wear it today, but we filmed something, and I'm like, dude, I can't have this in every video.
People are going to be like, does Alexis have any other clothes?
Yeah.
I don't think
he does. How much are they paying him? And what's up with all those fleas around him? This has been another episode of The Cooligans. My name is Alexis Guerrero.
My name is Christian Polanco.
And together, what are we?
We are the
Cooligans!